it some more. Let's do it some more. Let's praise his name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. One day, God, we're going to see you face to face. And we're going to join the angels' choir that never cease praising you. And when they praise you, the elders that surround the throne, they fall upon the ground and they cast down their crowns and they give you glory. God, we're thankful this morning to give you glory. To say thank you for all you've done. And it started in your heart and in your mind, surprising us by coming. You appeared to Mary and surprised her. You appeared to Joseph to comfort him, and to surprise him. You appeared to the shepherds. You appeared to the Magi. God, in a time of just normal life, you broke through. How could we ever thank you? Looking down upon this earth, taking the initiative to set us free. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. So glad you're here. If you are a guest with us today, and I'm certain there are quite a few, as you're visiting your family and they said, surprise, we're going to church. Because that's what we do. If you are a guest with us and you're local and you're just visiting, or you're, you know, maybe a person or a family who doesn't have a home church, let me just in a brief few seconds tell you who we are. We're not a church who feels like an organization. We're not a church that puts on programs. We're a church that very truly is a family. And if you want to be a part of a family, if you want to feel the love of God through other people, imperfect people, people with scars and glitches and stuff, if that's you, then you'll fit right in with all the rest of us imperfect people. And I want to welcome the newest member of our family, born, I think, 9 or 10 days. I can't, 10 days, just 10 days ago, that little Diane Elizabeth is in church. How cool is that, to look back and say, my first day in church was on Christmas. And she's right over here, Stella, we're so delighted with your healthy baby girl. And of course, the whole clan over there, we know you're excited too. And praise God for a girl. Oh, man. The boys have overrun this family. We need more girls in that family. So we're just delighted. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, we want to continue on with just family today. And so, kids, I want you to come up, and our children are going to read the Christmas story for us today. So let's rejoice in the reading of the scripture as they come.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be barren in her sixth month.
For nothing is impossible with God.
I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
At the time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will save people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest,
and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests.
When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, which they had heard and seen, which they were just as they had been told.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he has named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee for their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him then.
Great job, guys. Really, really great job. Well done. You have quite a few things in your hands, and what I'd like you to do so that we can just not be awkward later on, go ahead and open your communion cups right now. The bottom layer is where the bread is kept, and then on top is the juice. And go ahead and just set those down by your feet somewhere where you won't kick it over. And then you can hold on to your candle, which we'll use in a few moments. So you can just go and do that to be prepared. The holiday of giving. It's appropriate that we give things to each other in honor of the one who gave to us the greatest gift that's ever been given. Children wait restless the night before, just eager so they can come out and open their gifts, which they've already scouted out anyway and found out what the names are on all the packages. I used to do that at least. We were allowed one gift on Christmas Eve, unless we were at grandparents' house, and then we could open one from our family and then all the ones that the grandparents gave. And we could do that. In our home, we had this white flocked tree in front of the front window. And to me as a child, it was the most beautiful sight ever. And it had big purple bulbs on it. And at the bottom was it was kind of like a spotlight. And it shined up on the tree, except for it had a wheel on the front with four different colored gels on it, of blue and red and green and yellow. And it would just slowly rotate, changing the color of the tree about every, 10 seconds or so. And I remember laying on the floor with one eye on all the gifts and the other eye on the tree and just being mesmerized. And I was probably only 5, maybe 6 years old, but you know how some memories just are burned in to your brain? That's one of them. I don't remember a lot from those ages, but I do remember staring up at the tree and just being in wonder. As the day came for the gifts to be opened, we weren't the most gracious and caring group in that we weren't that polite, is what I'm trying to say. We didn't really care what everybody else was getting. We just kind of cared what we were getting, and we'd divvy out all the gifts, and each person would have their, gifts underneath their feet. And then as if the starter pistol goes off, when it was time to go, everybody just dove in. And it was like, graffiti of paper flying around the house. And it lasted like all of 10 minutes. And you could, kind of like a mom who cooks a meal, takes her 2 hours to eat the meal, and the family takes 10 minutes to eat it. I would imagine that's the way my parents felt. Because we just wanted to get into it and play and see what was in there and rejoice over those things. Well, I thought it couldn't get better. But it did get better. It got better when it came time for me to grow up, to have a family, and to give gifts to ours. And I understood the whole concept then of the joy of giving even being greater than the joy of getting. I started to understand how God must have felt in giving the gift to surprised people rather than receiving one. The very first time I remember that feeling was actually before our children were born. And that was when Sandra and I, my wife, spent our first Christmas together. We met in February, or rather late January, and then it was, you know, almost a full year until our first Christmas. And by that time, we were pretty invested in one another. And we were emotionally and heart and everything else invested in one another. And so that first Christmas was really special. And so I wanted to give her something special. And I always try to keep a keen ear, you know, to what she says and to what she enjoys. And she knows that right now, even throughout the year, if she says, hey, I like that, usually what follows is, but don't buy it for me. Because she already knows that if I hear it, I want to get it for her. And she may just be admiring it. But I knew that back then, one of her favorite things was Black Hills Gold. And we just traveled to North Dakota this last year, where the Black Hills are, where that gold comes from. So it was kind of fun to be there, but she really, really liked that. And, but I was a college student and didn't have much money. But I wanted to get her what she wanted. I wanted to get her what she loved. And I just figured, well, I'm going to make it happen. So, you know, you work and like, we do. And you save and you work and you save until I had enough to buy her a Black Hills gold ring with some little diamonds in it. And they were like less than diamonds. They were like a piece of dust, you know, diamonds. But they were diamonds. You could see them sparkle if the light hit it just right. Now, on the other hand, she purchased things that I loved. You know, like sports, and I was in school. And so she bought four or five items that were nice. And so when it came time for Christmas, she had these packages, and I had one package. And it was, you know, about so big. And what I had done is I bought this little puppy, stuffed puppy with a heart on it hanging out of its mouth that said, I love you on the heart. And then hidden underneath the heart was the ring, so that when she opened it, you know, she wouldn't see it right away, but she would see the puppy. I thought that was a really great idea. I learned real quickly that I probably could have thought it through a little bit more in regard to her reaction, because she had this, you know, three or four pretty good sized boxes, and I've got my box. And so, you know, she let me open mine first, and they were great. Really, really enjoyed everything she bought, and I remember them. And then it became her turn, and her eyes were just lit up. She was just excited to find out what I had gotten her. And it really wasn't about the gift. It was about, what is this person that my heart has grown attached to giving to me? It was that was more important. He's giving it. And man, what a letdown. When she opened it and realized in her mind how cheap I was. That she opened this up and we've all been there when you want to pretend you're excited, but you can just not hide the disappointment in your eyes. As I was surrounded by gifts, and she opens up this package with a little stuffed doggy on the front, or there. And her face was just like, thanks. And she was trying so hard to be kind to me. But I knew there was something better than just that. And as she kind of toyed with it, she felt that there was more underneath. And then, bam. The man. Right then and there. It was so good to have that reaction of sheer joy of having something that she cherished and that I had given it to her. It probably wouldn't have had any greater, it wouldn't have had greater value or great value if somebody else had. But since I gave that to her and I knew her heart, she rejoiced in that. Gift giving truly is a greater blessing from the giver. And that makes me think about the excitement God must have had. Just as I was so excited, even to trick her a little bit. Because I knew that she would enjoy what she's receiving. And the excitement of waiting for the moment, waiting for the moment, waiting for the moment. And even in the brief disappointment, burst into joy. That was so much fun to watch that happen. Yesterday we did all of our gift giving on Christmas Eve, and the whole family was there, and the kids and the grandkids, and so much fun to see our eldest grandson, Luke, open what he really wanted, and to jump in the air and say, yes! And And all the adults wanted us, were saying, can you do that again? We missed the picture. We got to post the joy that is, you can't recapture that. That initial joy is there and the excitement. And then the next grandchild received this little, a set like a veterinarian set with a little dog that kind of walks and barks. And oh, she played with that all morning, just loving it. She wouldn't turn the stinking thing off. It was just barking and barking and barking. But she had to have it on, and she was just full of motherly love as she nurtured it and put her little veterinary ears on and chested the heart. And she's only 2 and a half. And then the littlest one, Chio, a year and a half old, and getting her, I think it's her first doll. And immediately that female intuition kicked in, and she just loved it. We were just thrilled as parents and grandparents to see the joy brought to the ones that we loved. You know what the beautiful thing is there? The giver and the receiver both rejoice. Just like the Bible says, in heaven and earth rejoice. How excited must God have been to just wait for us to understand who He was, who He is. But you know, strangely, the receiver in many cases still hasn't understood who He is. Still hasn't got the joy inside of knowing that God came and gave the greatest gift. Like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, the giver so loved the receiver, that He gave, not a gift purchased, but He gave the life of His one and only Son. And He was so excited. Announced it with angels. Announced it with a star. With all these miraculous things, He announced the gift was coming into a world that needed Him. I rejoiced, even having spent, you know, pretty much all the money I had to give Sandra the gift, but it was worth it. God rejoiced giving all that He had. Not money spent, but His one and only Son. And He rejoiced over giving it. There's a song, a Christmas song, you've sung it, called O Holy Night. It's a beautiful song. Gorgeous melody, great lyrics. And it's about the giver and the receiver, at least in the first stanza. When it says that, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. The stars made by God, shining for the people He made them for. It's the night of the dear Savior's birth. The people didn't know that. The shepherds didn't know. Mary only knew just about 9 months prior, as did Joseph, as did Elizabeth. The Magi saw the star in the sky. So there's a few that were clued in a little bit, but the rest of the world had no idea what was happening. And God in His wisdom is just, I can imagine Him talking to the angels saying, oh guys, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to give them the gift. I'm so excited to present the newborn King to them. And I'm going to announce it in the most grand way any gift has ever been announced. I'm going to announce it with angels. And I'm going to announce it with stars. I hope they really like the gift. The receiver, his reaction was a bit different. The next words of that song say, long lay the world in sin and error pining. The world the gift was coming to was a world pining. Have you ever pined? It's not a word we use a lot, but it's a good word. Pining means to yearn. It means to kind of ache inside for the want of something else. And you might not even know what that want is for. If you know what you're pining for, you can at least work to remedy the yearning inside. But here it says, in sin and error pining, the world did not even know what it was pining for, except there had to be something better than this. There has to be something else to fill this hole, to give me meaning, to give me understanding, to give me purpose. How do we fit into this world? How do we exist with some kind of satisfaction in this world, in sin and error, pining. But it gets better. Till he appears and the soul felt its worth. Don't you love the fact that when Jesus came, the gift of God, the one that he was so excited to give, he announced it with angels and stars, that he said, when the Son comes, the soul will find its worth. Has your soul found its worth this season? Has your soul found its worth? Do you remember in sin and error when you were pining and you didn't even know what you were pining for, but it was this ache and it was a desire inside? But when you met Jesus, your soul felt its worth. Where you may have felt insignificant, now you understood that God gave his Son for you. When you felt overlooked, you realized that God gave his Son and he had you in mind. When you realized that when you felt like no one cared, and then you read the Easter story and you found out that Jesus died for you, our soul feels its worth when we understand the gift of God. Reading the stories in the New Testament, there was a woman at the well, a woman with not a good reputation. People didn't like her. The ladies wouldn't fellowship with her. The men liked her. She'd have five husbands, and the one she was with wasn't her husband. But when she met Jesus, her soul felt her worth. It was a man who'd been crippled for 37 years. This miraculous phenomenon would happen at the pool of Bethesda, where the Holy Spirit would stir the waters, but you had to be the first to get in to be healed. Well, this man could never get in. Overlooked, pushed down, rushed over by those with other ailments, allowing them to get in first. But when he met Jesus, his soul felt its worth. There was a woman caught in adultery, and the people wanted to put her to death. But Jesus stood between the stone throwers and her. He said, I don't condemn you. Her soul felt her worth. And the stories go on and on and on and on. When Jesus appears to you, your soul that is sick, it's inadequate, it's fearful, it's bitter, it's offended, it's grieving, it's sorrowful, it's yearning, it's pining. And when you see Jesus, your soul feels your worth. That's the message of Christmas. The giver saying to the receiver, even though the receiver may not know what you're yearning for, the greatest gift is to feel worth. You're worth it. You might even say that with me. Would you just say it? Say, I'm worth it. And those of you that are my age, when you say those words, I'm worth it, I don't know about you, I recall back to a 1970s commercial for shampoo. It was really expensive, and the woman would shake her hair and say, because I'm worth it. All filled with ego and look at how beautiful I am. Well, we are beautiful, but not because we're looking at ourselves, but because we're looking at the gift giver. The one who says, you're worth it to take my Son as your Savior. The first stanza goes on to say, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Finally, the tired, worn out, beat down, frustrated, 9 to 5, you wish you had an eighth day of the week and a couple more days in the month and a few more months in the year, and you're just tired and weary, but that really weary world rejoices for the thrill of hope. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Tomorrow's morning will be different than this morning. The morning that the shepherds awoke on day one was a lot different the next day. The day that the Magi saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was different that next morning than the previous morning. A new and glorious morn awaits us when we find Jesus. Or rather, when we finally open our eyes and he finds us. A new and glorious morn. I want to ask, have you found a new and glorious morn? Have you found that your weary soul can rejoice? Have you found that the pining can stop and your soul can find its worth? There's a way to find out. It's the last words of that first verse where it says, fall on your knees. Hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night divine, O night divine. Whether you fall on your knees physically or you fall on your knees in your heart, what that simply means is, you are Lord. And as soon as you acknowledge that He is Lord and you receive Him as the gift that God the Father gave, your weary soul will rejoice. Your soul will find its worth. And yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Everything will change. My prayer and my hope for each one of us is that you've already discovered that. But maybe you haven't. And if that's the case, can I just tell you, it's as quickly and as easy as you say, God, I receive your Christmas gift today, the gift of your Son, and I choose to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. I hope you will. Come back, join us on a subsequent Sunday. If you make that decision, we'll show you what happens next, and we'll help you along. There's a way we celebrate this gift of Jesus. It's with the communion, community, communion, unity with God and us. And Jesus gave us an example to follow, to remember Him by, bread and the cup. Celebrated the first time just before He was crucified. So if you'll take a moment to, you can undo your juice now if you haven't done it already. But we're going to do this by candlelight. So before you get your hands too full with other things, the ushers are going to come. And if you would prepare your candle, and they're going to come and they're going to light from the insides. And then you can light yours or light the other person's next to you as you do. And Don, I'm going to walk right down and make the videographers upset with me. And light my candle. There we go. And the words of that song, O Holy Night, will be on the screen. And I want us to sing those. You may not be familiar with the text two stanzas. But I'll just lead them just with our voices. And let's just take in the beauty of the song, but more importantly, the beauty of the message of the song. All right? Just follow along with me as you try to light your candles, read the words, and do 14 things at once. Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appears and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Hear the angel voice. Jesus, we proclaim your power and your glory. The knees of our hearts bend to you, acknowledging you are Christ the Lord. We fall upon our knees in our spirit. We hear the angel voices. You are the glorious one, the great gift of God. And on this Christmas morning, we simply want to say thank you for your gift, God. Thank you. Our soul feels its worth. We can never repay you, but we rejoice. And I know our rejoicing is what pleases your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. On the night Jesus was betrayed, years after that special holy night, the reason Jesus came was to die. He said, do this when you remember me. Take this bread, the bread of my broken body. Take it, eat it, when you remember what I've done for you and the gift of God that I am. Let's together take the bread and acknowledge our Lord and Savior. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And at that same supper, he took a cup and said, this cup is my blood of the new covenant. The new covenant of eternal forgiveness. Taking this cup acknowledges that we are his, that he is ours, and we are free from all of our sin, past, present, future. Let's thank our Lord and Savior, the greatest gift ever given, for the blood, for his new covenant. Let's take it together. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore. Together and sing it. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Heaven and earth rejoices. The giver and the receiver rejoice together. And I know right now that as great as we love God and desire him, there's one who's rejoicing even more, and that's the giver. Our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoices more today. That was the whole plan. I'm going to give him something special. And he has. And we've received. And heaven and earth rejoice. Have a wonderful rest of your Christmas day. Go love your family and rejoice in the gift we've been given. Amen? Amen. You can keep your candle if you like, or if you don't want to take it, blow it out first. And then drop it in the receptacles out the doors. God bless you. Merry Christmas.